Justice of Guardians, Scene 27, Act 4, Take 666.
Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians, Episode 24. This is the week of Warmind launching, but we're not going to discuss that nor dive into that too extensively. But we might have to, because reasons. This week is our Nerd Talk. Joining me, per usual, I have the... I'm going to slide this around. The effervescent Russell.
You know, I feel like I could have been a little mermaid. Except I'm not a girl, and I don't have a fish tail.
But, are you sure?
I don't believe you.
That sounded pretty good.
My singing voice is on point.
Keep singing. Keep singing!
Sing for me, my angel of music.
Different.
Also is my ever-sensual co-host, Nicholas.
Greetings, Guardians. My name is Nick here.
Is this a bit?
It's not old yet. It's still not old.
Yeah. No, hi, guys. Hello.
Hello. How are you, bud?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. You know, I'm just doing all right. No real complaints. Other than people who drive too slow or cut me off in traffic and then drive slow.
Oh my god, that's the worst. I just experienced...
Nobody cut me off in traffic today at all. Nobody. I don't know why I randomly talk about traffic. Don't cut me off in traffic.
Nobody cut me off in traffic today either. But that's because I didn't go anywhere.
I got cut off.
Also, there's no traffic in Kerrville, so...
I was cut off from really my sugar daddy's credit card today. I'm kidding.
Oh no, you poor thing.
Well, it's about time. I mean, he's been carrying you for years.
Okay, let's press this on. Enough about your depressing lifestyles.
Oh, whoa.
Also with us this week, we have a very, very special guest. We have Daddy. I mean, Sentinel Dad from St. 14 Project. What's up, man?
What's up, my brothers? How are you fine gentlemen doing this evening? And by fine, I mean not fine.
Oh, that was mean. That was a low blow.
That was mean. That was a low blow. That's like calling me daddy when I tell you not to.
Oh, daddy. Joining us this week, we have, ooh, Pappy from the St. 14.
That's a thing now.
Is
right
that
there.
Better?
Yeah, we're just going to call you Pappy from now on.
Well, that just makes me feel good. It makes me think you're calling me Danny Ortiz since I'm from Boston. I'm fine with it. That'll work.
Pappy. Tell me all about it, Pappy.
You just took it a totally different direction there,
Russ.
Like, Daddy, Pappy, we're running low on the farm.
That's not the direction I took it.
That's the direction Russ had. Oh my god, it's so good.
Oh my god, that's just nope.
Hey, thanks for being on episode 24 of Just Some Guardians, which is the show we're doing right now, currently, at this current moment in time. Yeah!
Wait, is that what we're doing tonight?
Maybe.
News to me. Jeez, why don't you tell me these things, Brett?
Speak to me, Daddy. What's up?
Pappy.
Muy caliente.
I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, you should have.
And
I'm surprised it took this long.
He just left everyone, sorry. Oh.
But no, thank you guys so much for offering to have me on. Very kind. And excited to be here. It's my first time on your show.
It is.
It's my first time on my show, too. No, I'm actually excited that you're here, because we've had people talk about kind of where you hail from in the past, and I'm excited to kind of more or less hear from the man himself.
Yeah.
Then, Nick, do you want to be in charge of the interview here?
No, I don't, actually.
That's fantastic, because I didn't want you to do it. Transitioning into the interview portion of our show that we're really good at. Oh, hey, Sentinel Dad, how are you?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
It's covered.
That's really nice of you. Shh, shh, shh. It's an interview. Shh. I got to rustle some papers real quick.
What? Why are you meing papers?
This is awful. All right. Yep, we're professionals. Let's do this, guys.
Sure, you are.
When?
Where the hell are you from, dude?
I am originally from just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. I left there right after I graduated high school. I was a senior in high school when the plane struck the towers. So me and four friends joined the different branches of the service the very next day. We signed all our papers, and once we graduated, we went on off. I ended up I went to the Marine Corps guy. He was a jerk. So I went across the halls of the Coast Guard guy. He's like, "Hey, I'll give you $40,000. I said, "A deal, my friend." And that's what.
$40,000 to do what?
At the time, their rates, what the Army and the Marines and the Air Force would call their MOS, the motor service. The Navy and the Coast Guard, they called rates. It was a critical rate at the time was called aviation survival technician. It was the guys that jumped out of the search and rescue choppers into the water.
Oh yeah.
The war on terror ramped up, and so I actually lateraled over to a different job. It's kind of the meat of the Coast Guard or the Navy. It's called bosun's mates. It's kind of really the jack of all trades. I became a boarding officer. I got assigned to a tactical law enforcement team out of Norfolk, Virginia. We ended up getting attached to a Navy law enforcement attachment, so we went over to Bahrain, Kuwait, and Iraq for a year and a half. I'm very fortunate. In 5 years, I got to go to every continent except for Africa. I was on an icebreaker, so I went to Antarctica twice, which was really
so cool,
dude.
Yeah.
How was Antarctica? Yeah.
It's cold.
Wow.
It's by far probably one of the most gorgeous places I've ever been to in my
really?
Entire life.
I can
yeah, no, it's we yeah we the. My first, our first tour there, we did a polar bear swim. And,
ooh, that sounds like a terrible idea.
It was. So we basically whoever could stay in the longest got a free bar tab.
Did you when you were on the seventh continent? No, when you were in Antarctica, did you find the thing at Outpost 21, or did you avoid Outpost 21?
I can neither confirm nor deny that allegation.
That's a yes, confirm.
Don't trust him, he's one of them.
No,
honestly, like, genuinely, thank you for your service.
That's
kind of an epic tale that you just regaled to us in less than 30 seconds.
And that kind of feeds into, I've been gaming since I was a kid. I'm in my mid-30s. My first system was an Atari, all the way up to, I'm a PS4 player now. I was in this big Destiny 1 clan, which still has a clan, in D2, which I have left since then, and I was one of the admins for them, and we did our first charity stream with them for Extra Life a while back, and it was a lot of fun. It was for children's health, of course, but the other part of it was, even at the time, we wanted something for our clan to really like rally around, because we had this lull in between Taken King and Rise of Iron. There was just nothing, I'm sure, as you guys all remember. So we just need something to kind of keep everyone engaged and keep everyone kind of occupied. And so that's what we did, and we had a blast doing it. And I reached out to the community, and that's how I started to get to know all the different podcasters, artists, streamers, I kind of made those friendships, and that kind of gave me the bug for doing charity streaming. And I've pretty much been doing it ever since. you know, we have our next stream, which is why I'm here, on May 19th, which is a week from Saturday. And, you know, that'll be like my 13th charity stream I'm involved in.
So now, who's we? So, you said we. Brett, I'm totally doing it anyway.
Oops. No, it's fine. He's skipping questions
you said we.
Anyway. It's great. Whatever. It's
yeah, we is the Saint 14 Project.
There.
And here we what go. We do is, Saint 14 Project is all about promoting mental health awareness. We did our first mental health awareness and charity stream earlier this year, and benefited a wonderful organization called TakeThis.org. If you've ever been to a PAX or any kind of gaming or nerd convention, they're there. And what they do is they educate people on mental health. Their tagline is like it is okay to not be okay,
mm-hmm.
and that really resonated with us. And I'll actually kind of back up a little bit. So he's always been my partner in crime for these charity streams I've done for so long is Average Joe 227, which of course you guys know him. He's a writer for DTR now. But we were doing a veteran stream last year for stackup.org, Vets Canada, and Help for Heroes UK. And it was like a week before the stream was going on, and we were just kind of like getting everything in a row, getting everything squared away. And he just kind of said, you know, what are we going to do next? And I kind of thought about it for a day or two, and I just kind of threw it out there. I said, you know, I really want to do something with mental health. And he just kind of took that and ran with it. He's really involved with the Destiny artist community. He knows all of them. He's like their best buddy. So he kind of helped rally the troops, and that's when we did the stream for Take This. Our friend and old clanmate, Hatchy Dave, is an amazing artist. So, like, almost, like, all of our, most of our graphics that you see, like, on our Twitter and our Instagram, most of them come from him. He's just phenomenal. And we also teamed up, there's a fourth member to, like, our kind of, like, leadership team, if you want to call it that, is a guy named SSJ5Goku28. And he actually, he is a clinical therapist in Canada. He actually just submitted his doctoral thesis, and so in a month's time he will be a fully certified doctoral psychologist in Canada. And he's such a wonderful wealth of information. He is such a great guy. So you know, he kind of like helped us with the clinical part of it. He kind of, you know, we formed this community. We have two different Discords, actually. One is for, like, planning of all of our events and our streams. Then we have another one, which is, like, our community Discord. And what we wanted was a place for people to be welcomed in a positive atmosphere, who can, you know, if they're going through a rough time, they can talk about it. If they want to talk to someone one-on-one, like, we have mental health professionals in our community Discord, which includes our friend Goku and a few others as well. You know, the community has been fantastically responsive to what we're doing, and everyone's, like, just there to help us, which is amazing. You know, We have a mental health author who's going to be taking part in our next stream. We have different psychologists, psychiatrists reaching out to us.
That's amazing.
It's very humbling. Like people, like non-gaming people have kind of heard kind of what we're doing, and they, you know, kind of tilting their head at it and like, wow, that's really cool.
Well, I love it because, I mean, at the end of the day, people are people. It doesn't matter what hobby you're doing. Mental health is mental health, end of story.
Exactly. And you know, that goes back, you know, it's okay to not be okay. And, like, it's about breaking that stigma. That's what we're really about. And, like, of course, whenever we do a stream, people want to donate money. That's just the nature of it. People want to financially contribute. And, like, that's not our main goal. that kind of, I guess, is a side effect of being about awareness, especially mental health. And like mental health now in 2018, as opposed to 1972 or whenever, pick a date, 20, 30, 40 years ago, it's totally different. Now, you know, there isn't that stigma. There isn't that stereotype that, oh, it's the guy who's homeless, he's an alcoholic, he abandoned his children 20 years ago. Like, that's not the thing. Mental health affects everyone. I don't care who you are. Everyone, in one way or another, it affects you, it affects a loved one, it affects a coworker, it affects someone you know one way or another. And there are so many different tools out there. There are resources, no matter where you live, that you know are available to you. And most of the time, like when we get people that reach out to us, you know, we are not a substitute for seeing a therapist. I'll throw that caveat out there right now, whatsoever. If you think you're having enough time and you need and you want to talk to someone, you should do that. If you think you're going to hurt yourself or hurt someone else or anything, there is multiple 24/7 hotlines that you can call, and I'll give you guys those numbers so you can throw those in your notes if you like.
Oh, absolutely,
But you know, there's so many resources out there, and once the success of our first stream kicked off, we're like, yeah, we're not going to make this a yearly thing. We're going to make this an all the freaking time thing. It just made sense. And, you know, it's been great so far. We have a great response from the community, like I was saying earlier. So this stream that we got coming up on May 19th, it is benefiting stackup.org. Because they recently launched their, it's called the STOP program, the Stack Up Overwatch program. And, it's geared towards, suicide, awareness, suicide prevention. For those who don't know what stackup.org is, stackup.org is a veterans gaming charity. They have tons and tons of different programs. They send, they basically help veterans through gaming. And they help military service members that are deployed abroad, here stateside, also in New Zealand, Canada, the UK, NATO forces. They also help people that are transitioning from active duty to civilian life as well. But one of the staff members, Stephanie, who everyone knows by Betty Page Gaming, the Stack Up Overwatch program is kind of her brainchild. And so they launched this last year. And so basically, if you're having a hard time, whether you're a veteran, a military service member, a civilian, even if you don't have anything to do with Stack Up, anyone can go into their Discord server. And there are trained, interventionists, 24/7, 365 days a year. And all you have to do is... Wow. You go. It's called the STOP Initiative in their Discord server. You just say, "Hey, I need help," and like that, 3, 4, 5, 6 people will kind of be like, "Okay, what's up?" And then they'll take you into a private place. Through Discord voice or in like a private chat or whatever, and you kind of like talk about what's going on and see what we can do and kind of give you the right, you know, advice.
That's amazing.
You know, yeah, no, it's very amazing. They actually, pardon me, there's a bunch of, speaking of Betty Page is in my chat right now. I'm just talking. They just went to D.C. They got invited to the, I think it's the American Board of Suicidology. I believe. And they went and presented there, and people were just fascinated that there's this kind of conduit for mental health online, not only online, but through a texting gaming format. I've always, in addition to being part of Stack Up and the different streaming communities I'm involved in. I'm also one of the I'm a game night host for Stack Up. So every week I host a Battlefield night on Monday nights for them. So I've gotten to know the Stack Up guys very well. I went to Guardian Con with them last year. So and these guys are just absolutely amazing people. Veterans, active service members, civilians. So we're going to be doing that on May 19th. We have a bunch of streamers lined up starting at noon Eastern Standard Time. And that's just going to be over on our Twitch, which is just twitch.tv/Saint14Project. And all of our updates are on Twitter, just at Saint14Project as well. We're starting off with that author I was speaking of earlier, Charlotte Underwood. She's going to take the first hour. I think for one of your past guests, Bo Solaris is going to be on there. Mm-hmm. One of my dearest friends, Defiant Reaper, who's on the Stack Up stream team, he's going to be taking a slot. Belle Bunny, everyone knows her.
Belle!
Yeah, Belle. She's such a sweetheart, and she's such a great advocate for mental health. I'm the Blue Ranger from Destiny Reset. We got the guys from the Delta Co Fire Team Chat podcast are going to be taking a slot. Buster Knuckle and RNG Cast is going to be there. And there are two guys from Stack Up. One guy's named Nightmare Actual, and the other guy's named Elvis. And Elvis is actually the Stack Up Overwatch program lead. He's going to be taking one of his last slots, and another streamer named Ivy. So we have it set to go from 12 to 10, and you know what? We got a bunch of extra streamers just sitting back and holding. If we get enough people wanting to stick around, we'll keep on rolling. We don't have any financial target. I think last, just like for Take This, I think I just set like a $1,000 target on Tilt the Fire or something like that, and they crushed it, of course. But please come on out. May 19th, it's a week from Saturday, New Eastern Standard Time till at least 10 o'clock. Twitch.tv/Saint14Project. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a good time. We're going to be, and during each slot, the different streamers and podcasters, whoever's streaming at the time, they're going to be talking about different topics. Of course, one of the bigger focuses of this is going to be suicide awareness, mental health stigmas, and you know, how to get help, where to turn to. But yeah. We started a podcast as well. Which is on Podbean and iTunes. It's just called the Saint14Project Podcast. We just did our fifth episode, and we also had another mini episode. We focused on a game called Hellblade. The four of us, and we had different guests on. Last week we had a guy named Chris Case, also known as Cuddles, and he's the streaming manager for Stack Up. We're having a blast. So each episode we do different topics of mental health. Goku also does like a character analysis, and we put a Twitter poll up each week, so everyone can kind of vote for which one they want to see. So if you're on iTunes or Podbean, just look us up. But that's us, and that's what we're doing. Thanks for being part of it, guys.
Oh my God, that's so fantastic.
No, thank you. I mean, thanks for bringing that, being willing to come on and talk about it.
Absolutely. I hope mental
health
stream goes
is
as well.
Near and dear to my heart, so
you're good.
Yeah, I know
Brent
your guys' last stream went really well, and I heard a lot of good things from it.
It really did. It really took off very well. We were we knew it was going to go fairly well, but we really didn't anticipate how much interaction there would be. Like there was during the Take This stream, there was someone was talking about issues they had in childhood, when they were touched inappropriately, and like how that has affected their entire life, and how they're now 20 years later finally seeking therapy. We had like complete strangers just completely opening up to us, which was just incredible.
Wow.
It's one of those things that it's universal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like truly, truly, like I have a background in working in youth ministry, and one of the goals in that environment is to create a safe space. You know, and that sounds cheesy, safe space these days, but no, it's not cheesy. It's anything but. Because you don't realize how much that type of thing is needed until you're someone who needs one. And it's there, you know. And so I absolutely applaud and am in love with the fact that you guys have done what you've done to make sure that people, I mean, let's face it, up until very recently in history, being someone who was a gamer did not necessarily garner public favor necessarily.
Right.
But to sit there and create a safe space and create awareness using gaming as one of the primary mediums through which you reach people. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's so many, you know, mediums out there, and you never know what's going to click for someone. You never, like, someone could have popped into that stream that's never opened up, and because it was in Twitch or through gaming, which is something they're comfortable about, they finally were able to open up and go from there, which is just, well, oh my God, that's amazing.
And I think sharing a common interest is something that, you know, it allows that safety of, you know, if nothing else, we can talk about games. You know what I mean? We can talk about something safe and not traumatic to be able to open up that door, and then once you feel comfortable, you can begin to talk. And I think I think that's a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, everybody says the internet, you know, the internet is full of trolls, but you know, it's also got a lot of people that are sincerely good-hearted and want to take care of other people and want to help other people, because that's just especially, you know, I think that's wonderful. I think that's amazing that you guys have tapped into that community and opened it up for other people that need that don't feel safe anywhere else, coming and being able to voice their problems or their concerns or whatever, you know, to somebody else.
It's I mean, it's like you were saying earlier, that is universal. It's like if you break your leg falling down the stairs, and you see a kid who broke his leg playing soccer, and you see a senior citizen who's broke his leg walking to the store, it's universal. You all are in that same painful place.
Right, it brings out some form of camaraderie that is almost unspoken, but it's there.
Exactly. And you know, there are, it's just a natural thing. It's an automatic response that, like, you know what? I don't know exactly what you're going through, but you know, I kind of felt something really similar. And it's those, it's like an automatic connection. You know, people who are going through a substance recovery and program and 12-step programs, you know, kind of go through the same thing. It was they tried going to psychiatrists, they tried going to therapists, they tried quitting cold turkey for whatever their thing was. But you know, a lot of these people, what has helped them most is finding someone else to talk about a similar experience with. And that's one of the results of our community servers, and people kind of talk to each other and bounce ideas off. And you know what? Why don't you try this breathing exercise? Why don't you try this grounding method? It really worked for me. And then there's some people that, you know what, that really didn't work for me, but I tried this instead. And the other person's like, oh wow, that's incredible. Maybe I should try that. You know. So it's a great experience thus far, and we're really excited to keep on going. Not only do we have this week and a half for suicide awareness and Stack Up, in June we're focusing on pediatric mental health, and we're doing that for St. Jude. So we're keeping on rolling, brothers.
Dude, that's amazing. It really is. Absolutely. I'm really glad we had you on. I've followed sort of kind of maybe a little bit since I first heard about you guys, I want to say through Guardian Radio, like way back when D1 was the latest greatest. And
but
maybe not that early.
No, it wasn't that early, but you know, we kind of started.
But
this
I,
about...
I know it was on Guardian Radio the first time that I heard the Saint 14 project, like actually.
Oh really? Oh wow!
And I'm like, what is that?
And you know, I'll tell you the where the kind of the roots for like deciding to get into mental health came from. You know, I struggle with mental health. In 2006 was the last time I tried to kill myself. And you know, I talked about that in the actually our friends over at Dad Tales podcast. They had this great section of their Discord server. They were really the first ones to do it. It was called Dad Provements. It was for, you know, anyone in the Discord server, you know, it's like kind of a place to say, you know, hey, we you know, I'm trying to lose weight, or hey, I'm trying to not get so frustrated at my kids, and there are people talking about mental health. And you know, I was that was, you know, well over a year ago, and you know, I had a rough year last year, and I started, you know, having, you know, thoughts, and you know, I would normally just bottle it up and, you know, do the thing you're not supposed to do, and you know, so I put it in his little on the Dad Tales Discord server and the Dad Provements channel, and I just kind of wrote that out, and you know, people responded, and people were like, oh man, I'm here for you. You know, I feel you. You know, I've tried to do that too before. And subsequently, I actually went on one of their episodes and, you know, talked about, you know, my whole experience, you know, what happened, you know, when I, you know, I grabbed my, my 40 cal and I placed up against my temple. I had rocked around in the chamber. I had squeezed that trigger and the gun misfired, you know, and so.
Wow.
And whatever you believe in or don't believe in, you know, kind of, mm-hmm. it kind of, I was like, all right, whoa. And then, you know, I got help. And that, so really, you know, the big nudge for this, you know, why I wanted to do this is, you know, it's just, mental health is a part of my life. It's very important. So, you know, the guys at Dad Tales kind of gave me that opportunity to kind of go on their show and kind of give a little voice to it. And that's kind of what gave me and Joe that push to kind of get this ball rolling and find the right people. You know, we got Hatchy Dave on board and Goku and getting another guy named Curse3711 and Raging Cajun 85. They're our project ambassadors. They kind of welcome people into our community and get them oriented and stuff like that. So. I mean, we're very fortunate, and so we're really excited for the road ahead, and we just want to help as many people as we can, and really just help break that stigma, and give people the tools to get help. Everyone deserves help. No one can do this alone.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's not just one person per planet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. Wow. Nick, Russ, do you have any more questions before we kind of move forward a little bit here?
no. I'm kind of in awe of the success and the openness that you have too. I mean, you know, is you know, that's what people need, is somebody who can feel open and honest with themselves, and then you've created this community around that, which is really amazing. You know, it's just it's one of those things where, you know, you say awesome, but I am actually in awe of what you do and how you do it.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you to say, and you know, it's just like with getting help. You know, I don't do this alone. You know, I got you know, a cadre of guys to help. pardon me, organize everything, and then we have an amazing community, and then communities upon communities helping out. Yeah, it's really great, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think I speak for Russell and myself and any of our, I mean, anyone. Okay, maybe not anyone, but I speak for Russell, Brett, and myself when I say if we can help at all, I mean, with anything.
100%.
We're just the guardians.
You know, and like we're only a week away, and of course, you know, we already have, you know, our stream team for the event lined up. But what really helped is just like giving it a retweet, letting people know on Twitter, follow us on Instagram and share our stuff and talk to your friends. It's not just like doing stuff with your stupid phone or your computer or your iPad. Right. It's talk to your friends and talk to your non-gamer friends. You know, I told my employer what we're doing and what I, you know, started to get involved with, and he's like, well, do you want to take like a day off every month to kind of help with that? I said, excuse me?
Wow.
What?
Yeah, my employer offered to give me an extra day off every month because they fully support what we're doing. It's, you know, it's stuff like that.
That's
like
amazing.
Really,
yeah.
Talk to people, talk to your parents, talk to your friends, talk to strangers if you're wearing a Saint 14 shirt, you know. And that's another thing. We have like a little Etsy shop.
You read my mind.
Shirts and pins and little bracelets and stuff, and all that, 100% of that goes to mental health. It goes to organizations like Take This, Anxiety Gaming, the Canadian Mental Health Association, the ADAA. So, I mean, like, but none of that is retained by us, I assure you. But again, thank you guys for your support. And like I said, just tell people to talk to people about it. That's all we're asking. That's probably the greatest help is just word of mouth.
If I had a Twitter, I would share it all over it.
That's a good reason to start.
Time.
Yep.
It could be the shaved butthole.
Oh my god,
that's butthole. True.
Do you know about that, Sentinel? Have you heard? Have you purveyed those episodes where he regales the tales?
No, but I get a feeling you're gonna tell me.
Oh, I'm not saying nothing, Russell.
I let my wife wax my butthole. That's pretty much the story. I have also told her that she can do it again. So there's that as well. I don't know why. Maybe just so I have a good story to tell on here.
But
you know what? It is perfectly smooth. Because I shave it, right? But if you don't shave it on a regular basis, it's like Velcro. And so he's waxing, you gotta get a longer time period before you need to, you know, go again.
There's a science to it.
There is a science.
Okay.
Hey, nothing like a squeaky clean butthole, you know.
God. I imagine you're all welcome. Anything.
Yeah, I mean, not that I would openly be like, wow. This must be exactly what a nice, clean, shaved butthole feels like. I can't say that's ever... I'm thinking.
It's like when you lay down in bed at night and the sheets are cool and they're silky smooth. That's what a shaved butthole is like.
I can't imagine those are the same thing. But I know that feeling. Wow.
It's a nice feel. Oh my god. Russell, there's a corner over there. Go stand in it. No, I brought it up. It's my fault.
That's true.
Yes.
One last thing for me before we move forward with you, Mr. Sentinel Dad.
Yes, sir.
You briefly mentioned on your podcast that you do a character analysis.
We do.
For people that don't know, can you kind of tell what that is? Because it's really cool.
Yes. So what we do, and like, sometimes we do a theme, sometimes we don't. So we put a Twitter poll up. You should pick like four or five different options. And we pick all these different gaming characters. Like we did one a while back where it was like all sidekicks. Recently we did a military theme one. And other times we just pick four random gaming characters. And then the community and Twitter just vote on it. And then usually a few days before we record our episodes, we get our results in, and Goku does his exhaustive research. Like, he's really in-depth. He actually used to have his own segment. He used to have a lore segment that was pre-recorded on the DLC, the Destiny Lorecast, in on Pagan, Handsome Dragon.
So now, Goku is the one that you said is he's the one that will be a doctoral...
Yep, he'll be a fully-fledged psychologist, yep.
That's cool. I never thought Goku would make it. Oh, wait, different Goku. Got it. Goku couldn't even get his driver's license.
No, that's so cool. I've actually stumbled across a couple of the character analyses. On Reddit, people will, because I belong to various different gaming Reddits, and people will post links to audio clips of these character analyses, and I'm like, this is so cool. you're on all sorts of different gaming subreddits. If you didn't know that, now you know it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's like he did one on, we did a retro gaming one, I think, we were very surprised that Link didn't win it. I was pleasantly surprised.
But it's ended a different being, Link every gen, that's why.
Exactly. it ended up being Samus from Metroid, of course, and it was really well.
That is an interesting one.
And Goku was really excited because that's his favorite game of all time.
Yeah, I could tell he got super. He's like, and the winner is yes. Yeah, he got pumped for that one.
Oh man, he was so freaking excited. It's hilarious.
And I can't even imagine the kind of some of these analyses he do. Like, he'll be like, yeah, I don't really know a lot about the character, and then I did research. And I'm like, I can't even imagine how much research this guy's doing, because he goes in depth with their entire life.
The hell why they're the way research they are. Did you do?
Right? And I'm like, oh, dude, he's amazing. And I could just listen to him talk forever.
Oh, yeah. So I always figured that Goku was like, I don't know, like 46. He's like 29 years old. No.
Yeah. Surprise.
He's got that, he's got that very educated voice. And like, he's got the perfect tone. For someone in his field, you know, people mm-hmm. will just people want to open up to him, which is great. You
know? Yeah, I want him to narrate my life, like no joke.
I want Stephen Fry to narrate my life.
Oh my gosh!
I would like Nathan Fillion to narrate my life.
You can go home.
No, honestly, still to this day, I have to say Samuel L. Jackson would be the best to narrate my life.
Would be There'd the be a lot of MF drops in that.
Yes, there would, as there needed to be.
There'd be some points where you'd have to like look up and be like, really? That did not belong here. He'd be like, really fucking yes it did.
have you seen
Don't
his,
question me, mother trucker.
Did you see his old video that like go the F to sleep video?
Yes. Oh, I love that so
good.
Like so many
at the time when that at the time when that came out, my youngest was very young at the time, and it resonated.
Yeah, so many celebrities have tried to do it since, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you're not Sammy J. Like, thanks for trying.
Sammy J.
You're not Mason.
Oh, you're not Mason.
Jeez.
Well,
you okay?
Well, did anybody else hear that pop?
No.
Literally no one did.
Scared the mother-loving crap out of me.
Your mom loves crap? That's weird.
That is weird. Oof. I've met your mom. I don't believe it.
I don't know what to say to you.
It's lucky that I don't have diarrhea anymore. Or else the couch would have had
segways are a
thing,
and this is one of them. Hey, Sentinel Dad.
I want to let everyone in my stream know that thanks for stopping by. I'm going to take off now.
I gotta write this down. I gotta write this down. Editing point. 50
Dude,
minutes, 53
I just got exotic shit from the Eververse.
I'm too lazy to edit. Both know
Shut
that.
Your mouth.
Moving right along. So I know, I'm actually kind of curious about the reason. I know when new DLCs launch for Destiny, you do not play them at first. So before we
that
talk a little
correct.
Bit, I wanted to know your reason.
Oh, Rise of Iron.
We don't talk about Rise of Iron.
Do you want me to explain that more?
Absolutely.
I don't think we weren't playing Destiny when Rise of Iron launched.
Oh, really?
Really, really?
Who wasn't? I was playing it.
I mean, we played during, but I wasn't there at launch.
I played it. I despised the raid. It just the story. It was so thrown together. And, you know, I know that the you know, most of the devs at Bungie were focusing on Destiny 2, so they put up the live team to come out with an expansion, which was a task, which was a big task for them to do, and I guess I can assume that they did the best with the resources they had available to them. So when these new DLCs come out, I usually wait like a good week or two, and then I usually hit it. But yeah, and plus like with Destiny 1, like that was all I played for like 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. And there are like so many great games out there, and I was kind of missing out on it. So I told myself I wasn't just gonna play one game every day of the week, all the time. So I definitely dipped my foot in a lot of different waters for my gaming.
That's good.
Huh, interesting, Russell. Yeah. What was your favorite part of the story in the? I'm just kidding. Now for the spoiler part. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. So we did just want to, for a few minutes, before we go into Russell's segment, geek out a little bit. There's no spoilers here, but just about the exotic weapon changes.
Cool.
Nick, please start us off, man. I know you're pumped.
I
felt it.
Yep. My wee weapons, they feel exotic.
Are you again saying exotics feel exotic?
They do.
That's no, crazy.
The weapon that I first played through the Warmind campaign with, I pretty much just used one weapon, and that was the Graviton Lance.
Amen. Oh my god, it's so good.
It's
so good. Finding, like, having a group of Thrall. You still haven't done it? Oh, you're the worst.
Well, it belongs to my hunter. Well, I've had it with my hunter, so I haven't picked it up yet.
Oh my god.
Yeah, now I will say, like I said earlier, you know, I haven't touched the DLC yet, and I haven't touched the, you know, the patch that came with it. But I already liked Graviton Lance. That was like one of the few. Mm-hmm. It was one of the few newer of the exotic weapons. Like, I feel like all the exotic weapons I gravitated towards for Destiny 2 so far, they're kind of like underpowered. Graviton Lance for me, it's a fun gun.
Yeah.
It's not something to go charging on in unless you have like a great, you know, SMG with you or something like that. But it's, to me, it's a fun gun, and like I'm all about aesthetics in my gaming. So I will never wear raid gear, ever. Hate them all to death. I will always be decked out in Dead Orbit. I said it. And like the let's see.
Have to do a lot of editing this episode.
The other. The exotic grenade launcher, like the Prospector, I like that too, but it's not viable compared to some of the legendary grenade launchers that are just better. You know?
Mm-hmm. Grenade launchers are viable?
Yeah, they are. Mm.
Fighting Lion.
But
Graviton Lance, they changed it. It operates more like a scout rifle now because it's a 2-round burst, but it still feels like a pulse rifle. It's really, like, that whatever sweet spot there is that exists between pulse rifle and scout rifle, there's like one weapon that fits on that space, and that's the Graviton Lance. 100%. And they made it so that when you get the precision kills with it, like a fancy light shell happens that's bigger than Dragonfly. Because I feel like the OG Graviton Lance, it was nothing more special than Dragonfly. And here it feels like Axiom Bolts from the Warlocks.
Mm-hmm. That's just like a space magic gun.
Pretty much what it. So I like it, and I like, as much as I love the sound effect that came with the OG Graviton Lance, the OGGL, if you will, as much as I love it, it got obnoxious. Like when you're using that as your primary, like your go-to, like, okay, all I hear is...
Well, it was such a cool sound.
I liked it.
It was. I mean,
I liked it.
I'll admit that now it's a little better because you can, you know, there are audio sliders in the Destiny game. Who would have thought?
What? 2018.
But
The graviton lance, they tone down the sound effect. And my warlock, powered with the graviton lance and the Nezarek Sin helmet, it's just done. I mean, game over. So, but then a close second would be my ever favorite Skybringer's Oath.
Yes!
That is just, it's two weapons in one now. Like Aid's Breath, it's just like it was. You hip fire it, it's a different weapon. And it's so fun to use.
All I do is hip fire that thing now.
Well, and I like the OG Skyburner's Oath too.
Right, it and wasn't, that's what like, you get when you aim down the sight.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I agree with Sentinel Betty. You know, the exotics.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, Pappy.
So I think the exotics, I mean, I used a couple of them mostly for aesthetics. Like Skybringer's Oath, it gave me a slight bonus. Graviton Lance I liked because of the sound and because of how it looked, because it looks freaking awesome. But they were never as powerful as the exotics were in D1. They never were. Mm-hmm. You know, they just mm-hmm. they were slight benefits, but I mean, often you could probably get the same benefits, if not better benefits, from legendary, so why even worry about the exotics? But I have noticed like a difference in the exotics, mostly in what they've been talking about, that have made me really excited for the exotic patch and the exotics coming in the future, because it's all about making them overpowered. And I think that that's a good way to go with the exotics. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, the Prometheus lens was super cool when it first came out, and then they nerfed it down, but that's because it was mostly just laser tag in the freaking Crucible.
Oh, come on, laser tag was legit.
It was so much fun.
It was. It was insane, is what it was. But, you know, I like that. I like that they're going, okay, we're going to make it really awesome, and then if we need to, we'll pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They, for my hunter now that I'm leveling through the Warmind campaign, well, I just finished it, actually, a few minutes ago. But I've been using, Cardinal Rule, broke it. Not sorry. I used, like, energy exotics the entire time I was playing my Warlock. And now I'm like, okay, let's try out a kinetic one. And the only kinetic one that I actually like is Crimson. It feels like my Bad Juju. Bad Juju was my baby in Destiny 1. Like, pry it for my cold dead Guardian Fingers.
Oh, I know. You never used, like, anything else. Seriously.
Yeah. Crimson feels like Bad Juju and Red Death put together, which is terrifying to think about.
Which, but, Red Death was my main in Destiny 1, because it was just... It was very good in PvP. I used it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And it's I like that they definitely made it operate more closely to what a pulse rifle feels like, rather than a hand cannon. And I noticed, like, the OG Red Death... Or, sorry, OG Crimson was very similar to a hand cannon.
Yes. It was a hand cannon that had triple round bars.
Right. Now it feels like a hand cannon that's like a... Because it still looks like a hand cannon. Mm-hmm. It tastes like a hand cannon. Don't ask how I know that.
Oh, we all know that you've been licking the shaft of that thing.
Yeah.
The barrel. Ooh, the barrel. Yeah. So yeah, anyway. That's all I have to say about the exotics for now. I think the exotic armor, you can definitely tell that they're pieces of shit compared to the weapons now.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, then seeing like how big the changes were to the weapons, I'm super pumped to see what actually happens with the exotic armor when that pass comes through.
Well, and I have a feeling that this was kind of like a test run of, hey, we're going to update a couple of the weapons that have been really bad. We're going to make them super awesome. And we're going to see how the community likes this in favor of, you know, what we've done in the past. And I mean... Actually, I don't follow the community, so I can't say anything. But my reaction is positive, and that's all that matters.
The exotic weapon rework, the reaction is, like, almost universally positive.
Absolutely. Yeah, I haven't seen a single person, like, oh, I hate that this is good now. which actually happens with things.
Because everybody else would then throw them down a rabbit hole of...
Exactly, a jade rabbit hole.
Trolling.
Rabbit hole.
But, so Graviton Lance is, like, killing it in the Crucible. And part of me loves it, because I've used it, like, almost exclusively in the Crucible since the game launched. And so part of me is like, yay, it's finally really good. And then part of me is like, everyone thinks I'm a meta scrub because I'm using this gun I've always used just because it's the meta now. I'm like, damn it all.
Graviton Lance all the time, yes. But there was that week where you used nothing but Skyburger's Oath.
That was the... Yes.
And then... you killed it.
Wrecked people, dude. I think that was that first Iron Banner I did that, right?
It was the first Iron Banner.
Yeah. I think we had a really terrible match and I was like, screw it, I'm putting Skyburner's Oath on. It can't get any worse than this. And then we just tore it the rest of the night. Oh, that was a good time. Oh, I have not done Crucible with Skyburner's Oath yet. I need to do that. But I did run into...
I think that would be a good one.
Yeah. I did have the other day...
It's like an auto and a scout rifle.
Mm-hmm. I had the other day, and I've seen a couple people...
It's like an auto grenade launcher.
Where there's like a team in the Crucible that's team-shotting, and you like... kill one and one of the person's close, and so you pop their head and the void grenades fall off and kill a guy, which then drops void grenades, which kills. So like killing one guy killed all four of the team shotters with just using Graviton Lance, and I was like,
that's amazing. Well, I love that Graviton Lance has a wider spread, because in the OG they had to be super close to take any damage from it.
Well, yeah, it was almost like it was just a like an explosion on the head, and now it actually bounces off.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I have noticed, I don't know if they actually touched the Mida tool set.
No.
But I will say, like, I mean, since we're talking about exotics, I love the Mida tool set. And it's not because of the meta or anything. It just, like, whenever I'm not using my Mida and my mining tool together, I notice the speed difference, which is ridiculous. And I'm like, where's all my speed?
Ridiculous. Chad has, you want speed, roll a hunter.
No, I have a hunter. And
I know you do.
That's what I started with. And then I switched to Warlock, and it's just like the survivability.
Hell yeah, brother.
Whatever.
What just happened? No, I flipped between the Hunter and the Warlock.
I still have never played a Titan in Destiny.
Do it.
They're much better in D2 than they were in D1, thanks to Fist of Havoc being in, like a roaming super.
It's all about them fiery hammers.
See, I want the shield. I want to be Captain America, dang it.
So go play one.
Yeah, dude.
Nobody plays Sentinel Titan, except for Sentinel Daddy. Sentinel Packer.
Oh my god.
And that is what you will be known as from now on.
I picture John Leguizamo in drag, like calling someone Tappy.
I mean, that's pretty much an accurate description of Brad.
That you're not wrong.
Jesus.
Let's just say my morning routine takes a long time. Please continue, Seth.
When they did the reveal stream last year for Destiny 2, and they brought out the three classes, and like me and my old clan at the time, they were like 23rd, just like watching it together on Twitch, and like for like a good like 3 months, you're like, oh, I want to try out the new Titan. And we're like, oh. So, you know, Titan? You want to tell me what the fucking name of that Titan is? Oh, yeah, it's a Sentinel Titan, that's right. And I was the most obnoxious person ever forever.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch that? Did you see it?
I have a question about the patch. I want to see how you guys feel about it. It doesn't relate to the exotics, though.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And I know that... Just like with everything else, the Destiny community, of course, has their opinions on it. But how do you feel about it? I know, it's a big freaking shock. Reddit is a happy place.
Reddit's not full of trolls?
The trials and raid rewards, the clan engrams you get, will now be, I think, the Vanguard and Crucible rewards.
Good.
How do you feel about that?
It always should have been that way.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
The first time we were in a clan, and we had before just Guardians was a thing, because in D1 we were those Guardian guys, but some son of a bitch took that. Asshole. I'm calling you out right now. Come fight me.
Yeah, guy that hasn't logged into his Bungie account in 3 years. Screw you, guy.
Come fight me. No, but we switched from those Guardian guys to just some Guardians, and I gotta tell you, just some Guardians sounds better.
Absolutely, I agree.
Like we ended up with the much better end of the whatever the has two endings, and one is bad and one's good. But anyway, the first clan we joined, like I log in and I've got a Trials of the Nine engram. I'm like, the fuck. So I go on and pick it up, and it's a trial scout rifle, and I'm like, I should not have this. I am one of the worst PvP Destiny players on the planet. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll have matches where I am just, like, I don't die once, and I'm just, like, I'm Thanos, just snapping my fingers left and right.
For those of you who have not seen Avengers Infinity,
it's in the comics, Russell. That's what happens in the comics. But anyway... there's even like a cute little snap, like comic book text thingy on the page where he does the snap, because otherwise how would you hear it? But anyway, that's how I feel about myself sometimes in the Crucible. But I am not good enough to do Trials of the Nine. Even if I were in possession of a fully equipped Infinity Gauntlet, I'm not capable enough for that. I'm just not. So I was kind of irritated that I had that weapon. I felt like, people are going to be mad at me for having this weapon. And I dismantled it. I'm like, nope, not even going there. I'm not getting used to using something that I can't have on my own merits. Like, I can't do it. Now, once I cleared the raid my first time, I had no problem grabbing the raid engram when I couldn't get on that week to do the raid. But that's a different story, because I did it. So I'm fine with it, and that was a change where I'm like, God, Jesus Christ, Bungie, come on! Like,
yeah, I did the exact same thing.
Let's do an in-depth study about how let's take as long as possible to implement a change that you should have put in like breakneck speed when people reacted the way they did to it. But that's neither here nor there.
Here comes Russell. I really liked it.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about, to be completely honest with you.
Brent, what about you? Because I know you were around at that point in the clan with me, where we were getting rewards for stuff that we weren't doing.
Exactly. And I was in the same boat as you. I mean, it wasn't immediate. Like, at first I was like, oh, what is this? Oh, you just get rewarded for, like, oh, at first I was like, oh, this is a cool, like, community thing. And then I never used the weapons, and then slowly over time, it was sitting in my inventory, and I just had like basically that same feeling you had, Nick, but it took me a while. I would look at it, I'm like, why do I feel weird looking at this gun? I never actually equipped it. It just sat there in my inventory. I was like, God, I feel weird looking at it. And then the exact same feeling hit me. I was like, no, I would never do this.
I had the scout rifle, I think, and then I had the sidearm. The sidearm is really... Oh, no! I had the scout rifle, sidearm, and hand cannon. And I know the hand cannon for trials... really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I dismantled it. That was the one. I actually didn't dismantle it. I infused it into my better devils that I lost and then got back. But yeah, I think that was a change that needed to happen. And if anyone's salty about it, come fight me. Redford, Michigan.
1v1 private matches. Let's go.
Come fight me, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Come on, man. Come on. Let's just do that. Hey.
You know, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have minded it. I was never part of a clan before. I was part of just some Guardians, and we have never completed Trials of the Nine.
So we shouldn't have Trials weapons.
Exactly.
But I mean, Trials. I mean, like, there's part of me, I can see it from either perspective, because I've never defeated Trials of the Nine, but if I had been part of a clan that did, I would have been like, oh, this is cool, thanks. But at the same time, I think I would have been miffed if I were on the other side, where I was the one who did it, and then they're getting a reward for it. Because it's like, why are you getting a reward for it? You didn't do anything.
Here's one of the killers, I think, not to like steamroll over, but just to quickly interject. So like when Leviathan first came out, it was entirely possible to run it and kill all the bosses and get nothing. And then some jackwagon who didn't touch the raid, who couldn't do the raid, and was not coordinated enough to contribute to a raid group, would get, like, the weapons. And it's like, dude, I ran it. I didn't get anything at all. I got tokens and shaders.
Right.
And then someone who didn't even touch the raid, who never has any intention to touch the raid, got the weapon I wanted. Are you kidding me?
Right.
So I think this is then step two of that change, where they made it so that all of the encounters now drop gear. And then now at the same time, people aren't going to be getting rewards if they don't actually do it. Like, you've got to go in and do it. You'll still get something. You'll get something from the Vanguard pool, which is good. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
They're getting two chances at Vanguard loot that week if their group raided the Nightfall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I think they should introduce its own loot pool almost for the clan. Sorry, I kind of ran over that. Sorry.
I forgive you, dude.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, well, he wasn't even listening, so it's fine, Russell.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, no, all right.
Please continue, Russ. How do you feel about that change, then? I know you haven't played, but just seeing it.
I play it. I mean, I just don't play it every day. I see both sides of it. I see, well, you know what? If you didn't do it, why should you get it? You didn't earn it. But I keep going back to the Destiny 2 reveal event. They had the woman from Bungie, Mei Chung, I think her name is? Chang or Chung? And she, her big shtick was, you know, we're going to make sure that this is accessible for everyone. And the big thing was the whole guided games thing, which, you know, I wouldn't say it's a failure, but I wouldn't call it a success either. But their whole big push was, you know, hey, this is going to be for everyone, like even the casual player. The casual player will be able to do everything that more perseverant player would be able to do. And like, I kind of think, you know, as a father with two very rambunctious kids, like the only time I'm online playing games is like when my entire family's in bed at night. You know,
right.
And there are nights that, like, you know what? I only got like a half hour, and then work schedule ramps up, and this, that, and the other happens, and you know what? I might only have like an hour or two that week, or the week after. Mm-hmm. And I really don't see an issue. You didn't earn that rifle. So what? I don't know. To me, like, and this is personally me. I want them to be happy too. You know, like, I don't. It doesn't bother me that, like, I and my five other guardians or two other guardians, not for trust. Wait, I got you. Five other guardians. We spent, you know, an hour, 2 hours, however long it took after all the wipes and this, that, and the other to get all the weapons done. And like, the other people in my clan, like, maybe there's a guy, like, a kid was just born. You know, there's a college student who's going through finals. You know what? He missed it. But you know what? He was able to get that sweet sidearm or whatever the hell he was hoping to get. But I don't know. That's just my feeling.
Well, yeah, that's why you're not.
I can see that perspective.
My only issue there is like it's trials is it runs every week.
Oh, you know, for sure.
You know, so I'm like, I'll tell you, I'll be perfectly honest, because like I can't throw out the opinion I did without being honest. Like, at first I was like, this is awesome, because I'll never get it in trials. Like, I can't do that. This is great. And then I got it. And I felt really shitty about the fact that I had it. Like, it was weird. You can ask Brett. Like, when they first announced D2 and the changes, and that very same woman you were talking about and gave her spiel, I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
Right. They're like, it felt inclusive or whatever.
Right, but then, like, I got it, and I actually kind of, and then I suppose it wasn't like I got it, and then I felt like that. I got it, and then I did trials. And it was,
then you were like, wow,
that's exactly, that's 110% it. Like, I don't have the skill required to obtain this weapon. Like, the raid's a different story. I will run raids with you, and we will have a blast, and it will be, like, the shit as far as time goes. And I mean that shit in a good way, because there's good shit and bad shit.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Like, that, yes. If I can't get on that week, and that's the way I get my raid gear that week, so be it. Because I've done it, and I can do it. With the trials, it's like... And I don't know if maybe Bungie can look at it and be like, has this person ever gone, you know, 5 and however the hell many matches there are supposed to be? Like, was it 8 matches? 7 matches? Bungie, it's got to be 7 because it's Bungie. Like, has this person ever gone 3-4 or 4-3 or 5-2 or flawless? Like, then they'll get this or that, or, you know, if you're like me, you'll get a shader. Like, you know.
That would be a lot of programming, though, to try and do it.
Oh, I know, I know. And that's I wanted to make sure, like, I was making that distinction, because it wasn't just like, oh, I felt
well,
bad.
Technically,
like, no, I
they
did
could
trials,
do that, because they already do that with
I got
Sweeperbot, because remember, you can't hand in tokens in to get loot unless you do the raid that week.
Yeah, but
so there's always
that's
a
yes.
Well, yeah, but there's already a sub-program kind of like that. They just have to go further from there.
Well, I mean, but if you're talking about programming for, you know, Trials of the Nine, if they've been in Trials of the Nine and they've completed successful matches, I don't know if that's something that they keep track of from a I don't know if that's something that they already keep track of on more than a weekly basis. So,
Brett, do you want to call Deej real quick?
Yeah,
have
him
ask for us.
Come on, guys.
All right, yeah, you got his number, right? Okay.
Yeah, dude. Speed dial. We go putt-putt golfing on Tuesdays.
Putt-putt golfing.
Hold on.
I haven't been putt-putting in so long.
Dude, Russell.
Hmm.
July, the weekend immediately following the 4th, Jake and I will be in Denver, in Colorado. We're going to go putt-putt golfing after climbing to Sky Pond. I don't want to hear any excuses.
Oh, hey. Hey, what's
except
up, Jeed?
Money.
He lets me call him Jeed. We're that close.
Hey,
yeah,
if
man.
I can afford it,
quick question
you
for
can
you.
Afford it.
Quick question, Jeed. So,
is this a bit?
No.
You guys mind him on the phone?
This is really happening.
Yeah, we were wondering.
He's like my mom back in the early 90s. With
is
the
there a way you could program so, like, you know, it could keep track of, like, if you've done trials before?
My dad got home from work. He was a Pizza Hut driver for his part-time
yeah,
job.
I understand it'd be difficult. Don't use that tone of voice with me. Listen.
He got home from
listen, I've been
job,
throwing putt-putt games
like,
for a month, all right? Just to make you feel good about yourself. The least you
and
can do
like,
is show me some damn respect, Jeed. Oh, really? Oh, you're going to take it that far back now. Oh, I see how you are. I hung up on him. I hung up on him.
Okay.
He's rude.
I could feel it. Over Nick's story that he
just some Guardians me. Exclusive, Deej is toxic confirmed.
Suck it, Guardian Radio.
Brett, has a real have... attitude problem.
Did you have your headset still on? Could you hear me?
Yeah. You're good.
Okay.
It'll sound
I don't know. I was like, I'm telling another story.
Okay, so in the interest of time here, let's move into Russell's segment, and if you could...
What is this time thing that you speak of?
Give us a brief synopsis.
Oh, gosh, I thought I still had more time. I am running through a heroic strike at the moment. Jeez.
The same one?
Wow, you suck.
No, this is my 4th.
Wow.
This will be my 4th, including the one that we did.
Thanks for being prepared for your segment of our podcast. Feels good.
Well, I thought I had more time. So, last week... I guess we're going to have to go back a couple of weeks because
keep it brief.
Brett so lovingly forgot to let me do my thing the last time. So
where'd it go, Beard?
last time we left our heroes, the hat trick, they had just made it to Hellgate, which is a city in Mare Porta. It's a major port city. It's on the channel between the Dawn Empire and Insalom, which is the Elven Empire. The Elven Kingdom, it's not really an empire. They then got checked into the inn that had been set up, you know, that Lord Morn had sent them there, so he purchased them a night at the inn, and they were supposed to investigate a necromantic cult. Then... Yes, I'm getting there. Jeez,
I'm just remembering and being happy. Oh. Like, that was a heartwarming moment for me.
So they made it to Mare Porta, and then they were exploring the city, getting acquainted with the different things in there. As soon as they checked into the inn, most of them... Well, first they got there, and Brett, or Beheshtor, Brett's character... had been set upon by an intellect devourer, which stole his intellect, or what little there was of it. So...
he called you stupid!
So they got to the city. They actually ended up being teleported. One of the teleportation circles in the city was in a temple to Gaudium, and so they were teleported into one of the head cleric's offices, and then the cleric kind of introduced them to Mayor Porta. A couple of people saw a little piece of paper on his desk that indicated that Lord Kellarel, High Lord Kellarel, was taking dead bodies. He put a bounty out for dead bodies. If you turned in a dead body, you would receive 5 gold, and it was to keep corpses out of the hands of necromancers. The cleric was concerned about this and writing a letter. They saw that. He healed Beheshtor of his stupidity. And then they decided to go to the inn and check in there. Jayag immediately... He wanted to meet an enchanter so that he could see about magical items. So instead of asking anybody... in the street, he decided to scream out the window, because this the city is very Spanish, so there's like a siesta time in the afternoon. So this was during that siesta time, and most people were, you know, in their homes, asleep on their rooftops, or resting upon their rooftops, trying to escape the heat of the day. And so Jayag opened the windows and communicated with a sunbather, who was not happy that Jayak was disturbing him from his rest, and let him know it quite explicitly. But he told Jayak to look for the guildmaster, Fatima, who is the resident enchanter, because in my world, dwarves are enchanters. They build the magic weapons. They forge the magic weapons. And they have a very specific magic which allows them to bind magic to weapons or items using runes that are their language as well. So they decided that they were going to go look for that, while Jayag and Andriox decide, which is Buster Knuckles' character, Hester and Andriox decided that they were going to drink in the inn, while the rest of the group went to meet the enchanter. They were able to find it rather readily by asking the innkeeper, and from there Jayag, so they met with Fatima, who was a dwarven woman, and she is very bluff and no nonsense, and so she, you know, they came in and she was like, "What do you want?" And Jayag was like, "I would like to have a longbow that shoots infinite arrows." And she was like, "Okay, that'll be 200 gold." And Jayag was like, "I don't have 200, but I have 100. And Fatima was like, "Well, I guess I can't help you then." And Jayag started to cry. And she said, "There's no crying in my shop." And she pointed to one of her subordinates and was like, "Is there crying in this shop?" And he very fearfully indicated that the answer was no as he tried to put out a fire on his beard. And then, Daggerland had collected some gold from a previous fight, so he gave that to Fatima. They were able to get the bow. Then they came back to the inn, which is where everything went to hell. Because...
What do you mean? I have no idea.
So, when they were checking into the inn, they had seen that there was another group checked in called the Instigators. And talking about the new name of the team, which is Hattrick, they were saying that at least it's better than Instigators. Well, the Instigators were in a table behind them, and saying true to their name, they instigated a fight with Hattrick, resulting in two dead bodies, one person killed in cold blood, who had been knocked unconscious, and then they just decided, let's just go ahead and kill him. So there was a total of five, I think. So two of them got away. Three were killed in the battle, and then three got away. Two died in the battle, and an innocent bystander was killed in the barroom brawl. So the innkeeper was unhappy about the brawl, but was understanding that it was a thing that occurred. But Andriox, but he wanted to get the guards involved because that was his responsibility as a loyal member of the city. And so he went to he had called the guards. He wasn't able to call the guards because Andriox cast command on him, and so the innkeeper was a little put out by the fact that he was spellcast, but he couldn't do anything about it at the time. One of the patrons of the inn slipped out, notified the guards that three people had been killed, as well as the corpse takers, who are red-robed individuals who came to collect the body, he was rather obviously a wizard. So he took the body, and then the guards came, and it looked like Hattrick was about to get arrested before, I believe it was Jayag stood up and told the guards that it was in self-defense. The rest of the barroom agreed because it was the instigators who started the fight. Well, they stood up and drew their weapons, to which Jayag then threw a knife into one of their shoulders. Which, you know, that's close enough. And so then... So they were free to go, but the innkeeper was upset that he had been spellcast, so he told them that they were not allowed to stay in his inn past this night. He would fulfill his obligation, but then they would have to find other lodgings. The next morning, they woke up, they tried to sweet-talk the innkeeper, if you can call it that, and then they were not able to do so. The innkeeper asked them to leave. He summoned the guards. The guards just kind of stood there while they were escorted from the inn. They met some people on the street. One of the guys going by was a sailor, who...
What did Jake do when they left the inn, Russell?
He told everybody on the street that he got sick from the breakfast, and that they put... What did you tell him that they put in the breakfast? Rocks. Rocks. And then he showed his teeth to people who were passing by. A couple of them believed him. Most of them did not. But they were able to... They were able to find a new inn called the Opal Shell Inn, which was an inn more towards the docks and a little bit of a rougher neighborhood. The innkeeper was very happy to have their business. He asked them to... he basically... So they were able to stay in the inn for one gold. They ended up staying there. They got two rooms, one with two beds and the other with four. Which is, yeah. So then, they were looking for jobs, and there was a person in the inn who piped up,
and he said he would like to have their business, and he would like to give them something to do.
I miss Mickey Mouse.
So he told them, he's a dead jerk. he yes, told he them
is. You're welcome.
He told them that he so he told them that his house was haunted by his wife, and if they would clear the ghost from the premises, then he would pay them the 5 gold that he managed to scramble out of the house with, as long as whatever they found of worth in the house. So they went to the house, they began investigating, they split the party, which is a major no-no, but that's okay, they haven't learned that rule yet.
It turned out.
It did. It actually worked out really well. So two of them stayed downstairs to investigate the library. It was a rather, for him to be staying, so he was staying, I haven't told you guys this, but he was staying in the inn because he ran out of the house with only what was on his person. So he didn't have a whole lot of money on him, so that's why he was staying at the Opal Shell Inn, even though the house that he lived in was very well maintained. They were definitely upper middle crust of the city. He didn't have any money on him, so that's why he's staying in kind of the poorer district. And so they got to the house, two of them went to investigate the library, Shearson the wizard went to the kitchen, and Beheshtor and a new member of the party, so they met a new member while they were there in the inn, named Tinok, the dragonborn barbarian. And so they, Beheshtor and Tinok went upstairs, Shearson went to the study. Al-Anon came with you guys upstairs, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Al-Anon went upstairs, and so two in the library, one in the kitchen, three upstairs. The two in the library, as they were investigating, they found a book that once shifted, actually opened up a secret passage into what appeared to be a basement. While Shearson was in the kitchen, he picked up a knife. And it was actually, I didn't tell you guys this, but it was actually the knife that he had that the man had used to kill his wife.
No, we figured that out.
Oh, did you? Okay. And so...
Conjecture, yeah. There was no other explanation for that.
Yeah.
Because she was pointed at the knife and she nodded.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she lifted her head up to, like, show the slice on her neck and then nodded her head. And I was like, ah, got it.
Jag just ate it all up, like a whole bunch of leaves and some branch.
So Shearson picked up the knife in the kitchen that was also being used to cut bread. And he was then possessed because he failed the charisma saving throw. And so then I took control of him. He went into the library with the knife and tried to stab Andreox, because it was Andreox and Jayag in the library.
With the candlestick.
He, Andreox...
No, with the haversack.
Androx's AC is super high, so he missed him. He clanged off his armor, but then he had a surprise round, and then he rolled pretty high, so I believe he went first again. He cast Ray of Sickness, did a little bit of damage, and then Jayag ran to him as he was trying to move out of the room away from them to be able to cast some more spells and do some more damage. Jayag, who had found a bag of holding earlier in the day, in the floorboard in the inn, the previous inn, the Slumbering Serpent, he took the bag of holding and put it over Shearsim's head, thereby suffocating him, to which the ghost, being suffocated and unable to control the body because it's in two different dimensions at the time, decided it was going to bail and get the heck out of Dodge. So it disappeared, and then, of course, so it vacated Shearsim's body, and then, of course, disappeared as well. They freaked out a little bit while the rest of the team investigated upstairs. They found a herbiary, I don't know what the word for that is. It was a room in which they were growing poisons, but nobody investigated the plants, so nobody figured that out. And then there was a study. There was also a child's room that had been locked and barred from the outside, and it had bars on the windows that they found. They went into a room that had been blockaded by crates. Tenok was able to break open that. If he had ventured further into the room and removed some of the blankets, he would have found trophies, and the ghost would have tried to remove him from said room. And then, let's see, the Heshtor went to the study. He also went into, so he found a secret compartment. He also rolled really high on an investigation, so he found a scrap of paper that indicated that the patients are not reacting well to their medicine, basically. But it was very experimental. It was talking about the subjects and how they didn't react well to the experiments and stuff like that. They then, Beheshtar continued to look upstairs. He found a secret drawer which had gold and gems in it. While the rest of the party went downstairs to continue to investigate the hidden door, Beheshtar eventually joined them. They went through the hidden door, and they found a surgical theater of sorts, which they found diagrams of dead bodies. They found brains. They also found organs and parts of people. A child was one of them. There were hearts, brains, hands, legs, all sorts of things that they had kept. And so the ghost appeared as well. They found a book which had some kind, it was written in deep speech, and it was the book of an Illithid who was keeping track of the experiments that he had done. There was also a brain on the desk which they picked up, which they didn't know until later was the Illithid's brain, that the couple had found, and then the Illithid brain had corrupted them. Then
all of these organs and body parts and jars are all going in Jai's bag of holding.
Oh yeah,
he's just taking it all. He doesn't know what any of it is.
Yeah,
poor fuck.
So he's throwing everything. He threw the Illithid brain in his bag of holding, which I was like, oh great, this is going to be a thing later.
After putting a lid on the jar.
He did put a lid on the jar. I'll give him that. Otherwise, it would have been a whole lot worse. So they did that. The ghost came, gave them some suppositions that it was... So they began to believe that it was the man who was doing these murders with his wife as the assistant. And then the man had killed his wife. You guys never actually asked for his name, so there's no name.
Yeah, I didn't care enough to care what his name was.
So Beheshtor, then furious, proceeded to bolt towards the inn. He grabbed the man, tied him up, threw him over his shoulder, walked through the city. They came back to the house. They took him downstairs and put him on the surgical table, to which then they found out that the man was actually the assistant and his wife was the doctor, the murderer. And she was the one, she had actually abused him to the point of compliancy. She had manipulated and abused him, and so he was complicit in the murders, but he was not exactly sane. So they removed him, they threw him onto the ground while they tried to fight the ghost. Jaya had rolled like a natural 20 when they had first come to the house that had given him a lot of information about ghosts, and because this ghost or CR4 and the group is a level 2, I admitted to where if you salt and burn ghost bones, that's an automatic death for the ghost. Otherwise they can come back. So while the rest of everybody is dealing in the basement, Shirzen decides to run away. If he had actually used the knife on her, it would have done double the damage. It would have done double the damage because it's such a traumatic psychic experience for her that it would have done psychic damage on top of the damage that the knife would have done. Hmm. But he ran out to try to find the bones, which were on the third floor, which they had never gotten to. Jayag pulls out the illithid brain and throws it at the ghost. Well, the illithid brain is angry at this, so it does its pulse attack, the illithid pulse attack, which is actually like a 22 and then stun you guys, but I nerfed it to a 12 because I felt like that was more appropriate. But then they were stunned. The ghost wasn't actually able to do any attacks during that. Everybody, several rounds later, everybody was unstunned. Jayag tried to come up and scoop the ghost into the bag of holding, but because it was ethereal, it didn't quite work the way that he had intended. So what I said in my head, I had you roll, and if it had been a crit, that's how you would have got it in there. But because it's ethereal, it can just choose to pass through that, because it's not necessarily an attack, and so its ethereal form would not have been subject to going into the bag if it did not choose to. That makes any sense.
Right, so it would have been like me catching her by total surprise.
Right, right.
That makes sense.
And so, but it was very creative, and I applaud the usage of it. She continued, and as Jayag was trying to run away, she reached out and touched him, and he went unconscious. She did 22 points of damage to him. 22 or 24, it was a lot.
He only, at the time, he only had 15.
Oh, yeah, so...
Because I had like, hit my head with something that you made do 5 points of bludgeoning damage. I was like, oh, God. So then when she hit 22, I'm like, yeah, well, I only have 20, so have a good day.
He went unconscious. Shirzen finally made it to the third floor, and he saw on the bed a woman with her throat cut, and there was blood all over the bed, but it appeared that somebody had been sleeping in the bed as well, and almost like the body was in a spooning posture. So he cast Fireball, because he found a spellbook from the wizard that they killed back in the Slumbering Serpent Inn. So to torch the room, which then torched the bones, put them to cinder, so the ghost was destroyed. And then they valiantly tried to put the fire out, and they were able to do so through some creative usage of spells and piss and water. And at which point the guards came to the door, and they explained the situation, and so they were able to go free, and then we ended on a long rest. And that is the update.
Boom.
Oh wait, no. my biggest facepalm moment of the whole week.
Yes, I did forget that.
I had quite a few facepalm moments, so this one takes the cake though.
So Jayag takes the man whom they had received the bounty from, and who was the assistant, and in an attempt to ease the carrying capacity of him, he decides to put him everything except his head into the bag of holding. So when he goes to close the drawstrings, it decapitated him, because that's how I run a bag of holding. So he decapitated the guy, which the guards are fine with, because he was a murderer and a terrible, terrible person. So they were like, okay, he's dead. It saves us the execution that we would have had to do anyway.
Literally I don't know if I've ever been quite so stunned.
Oh, you were just like,
someone said to me in my life, I was like, what?
Your face was just, you just looked into the camera like,
I was like, wait, what? Totally, like, as much as I didn't want to, like, totally dropped Jayag's character. It was like, what the fuck just happened?
Anyway. Alright, let's start wrapping this up since we're hitting 2 hours and people on the East Coast and everything tired. Well, if you wanted to catch the D&D sessions live, we do that on my Twitch channel, which we'll plug later. But Sentinel Dad, are you still with us, buddy?
Yeah, buddy.
I hope you found that super interesting.
You're a champion.
Absolutely.
I am a champion.
Yeah,
God damn it.
Okay. So what do you, Sentinel Daddy? I want to get your rate. What do you think of our D&D game so far?
Oh God,
it's great.
you didn't listen to a word I said, did you?
Sure, I did.
I listened to something.
It was definitely different for me. I'll say that. But, you know, that is one thing no other Destiny podcast does. So, you differentiate yourself from everybody else.
Hell yeah, brother.
Well, it's actually D in Destiny stands for D&D.
Yep.
That was the...
Dungeons and Dragons Destiny.
Hey, Sentinel Dad, you want to do some plugs?
Sure, buddy.
Go ahead and plug the hell out of yourself in Sim 15.
Yeah, sure. If you want to catch me, I'm a Twitch affiliate streamer. It's twitch.tv/sentinelbad. I stream a few days a week, different stuff. And you can catch me on Twitter, just @sentinelbad with an extra D on the end. All my updates, except for the Saint 14 Project, is just @Saint14Project on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, all that jazz. May 19th, noon to at least 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are stacking up for Stack Up, and we are going to spread out the news about suicide awareness, mental health awareness, twitch.tv/Saint14Project. We have a bunch of streamers, podcasters, authors, and this, that, and the other. So please come out. Tell your friends. Tell your turtle.
Tell your wife.
Tell your turtle. Yeah,
tell your wife. Sure.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Tell your kids.
That's what I was going
tell
for.
Your wife. Thank
you, Nick. But no, so we would love to see you on May 19th. And thank you guys so much for having me on. It was an absolute pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. That was really cool.
Indeed. You then sat through us learning out about exotic weapons.
You champion. I'll, the check's in the mail, promise. Sure, I'll call Deej. I'll call Jeed. I'll make sure he, you know, hooks it.
Make sure they get adequate compensation. Well,
thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians, episode 24. When we do the show, we are live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/justsomeguardians. You can find us on Twitter at JSGcast. You can send us emails, concerns, questions, pictures of Dick Cheney. You can send those to justsomeguardians@gmail.com. Nick, where are you at, bud?
Well, I mean, I don't ever tweet. I just lurk and like and retweet. But anyway, you can find me on the Twitters at He Who Fights, or on the PS4s as capital HWF dash the number 7 Force. Don't ask. It's awful.
The letter Q.
Underscore number blue. Potato. I can count to purple.
Rutabaga.
Rutabaga. Russell, are you anywhere?
No. I'm in the Discord. I like in the Discord, especially on the D&D channel, because D&D is my life.
Explains so much. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
You know what?
To get into the Discord to talk to Russell, you can find that on our Twitter, which is once again at JSGcast, and we have the Discord link there. Jump on in and join the fun. You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at ElmerFuddGames. A double M! Double D.
Double D.
And triple double F. X. No, you gotta go
but
triple
the
X.
F isn't in Elmer Fudd.
There's only one. Can I plug one more thing?
No.
As long as it's me.
Doing it everywhere. Also, our good friends at Stack Up, they're on Twitter, is just at stackup.org, all spelled out. And their Discord is free. It's pinned to their Twitter link. So if you want to hang out with a great organization that helps veterans and civilians all across the world, they're great people. And if you need to talk to a mental health interventionist, they have their Overwatch program 24/7, 365 days a year. So go check them out as well.
Awesome. Do they play Overwatch? Yeah, is that a bad joke? Okay. Is that a bad joke?
Russell, let's see if you can do it correctly. Take us out.
Join us next week for Utter Incompetency and Mutual Chaos on Just Some Guardians.
Oh, wow. He did it correctly. And this is the part where we have that wonderful conversation while music plays. La la la, hello.
It's technically Mutual Chaos and Utter Incompetency.
You know what? I can do it however I want because it's my bit.
Oh, Russell. Russell.
You know you love me.
Dude, Sentinel, once again, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
Seriously.